Happy Mother's Day to all of our moms. I have a little Mother's Day card I'd like to share with you. This is my Mother's Day card to all of you. Mom, I know sometimes I blow things way out of proportion. I can take something small and make a big thing out of it. So for Mother's Day, I'm going to take something big and make it huge. All my love. Happy Mother's Day. We certainly do love our mothers, and we hope and pray that each of you has just a wonderful day celebrating with your family. And I know some of you can't really be with your family, but maybe they'll give you a call, maybe they'll FaceTime you, but everybody should be celebrating Mother's Day today. And I want to send out a special Happy Mother's Day to my mom, Jane Latham, who is 91 years old. What a blessing she is to my siblings and I, as well as to our entire family. And I just hope all of you moms have a special day. You know, as we think about mothers today and we celebrate them, we're reminded of the gift that a godly mother truly is to her family. Mothers have an important role to play in the life of their children. Now, some mothers don't really understand that value and their influence. They may not know that God wants them to be a certain kind of person, live a certain kind of life. They may be so focused on how to make ends meet that they forget that little eyes are watching. So whether you are a mother watching today or whether you have a mother, the truth is we all need to recognize the value of living a life of integrity and prayer. James understood that integrity and prayer are of great value to the Christian life. And so in this passage, which will be our final passage out of the book of James, we're going to be reminded of that value. But we're not just ending a sermon series today. We're actually beginning a new one. You may know that for the last 10 weeks, we've been studying out of the book of James, and we end that study today. But as we do that, we also kick off a new study entitled Four Foundations for the Family. Now, this will be a four-part sermon series focused on the family. And since this is Mother's Day, I'll focus my thoughts on the life of a mother as we close one series out and we begin a new one. I want to encourage you moms to hear James's words and determine that you will live those words out in real life. But we can all learn the value of prayer, the value of integrity, the value of compassion in each life and all of our lives. And so today, the big idea is this: faith works for mothers who pray. But let's expand that a little bit. Faith actually works for all those who pray earnestly and genuinely, those who have faith in God, those who live lives of integrity, those who trust in the Lord will experience true joy. If you want the best for your family, make sure you are living a life of integrity that is bathed in prayer. James shares four characteristics of a godly person, and I'm just sort of saying a godly mother, in James chapter 5, verses 12 through 20. And if you were a mom who is watching, I want to encourage you again to live these out in your everyday life. If you were a child of a mother who lived these qualities out, then we should be thankful. The first quality that James discusses is that a godly mother needs to be a woman of integrity. Now, integrity is when we do the right thing, no matter who is watching. It describes a person who is honest and trustworthy. James chapter 5 and verse 12 reads this way: "Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned." Now, when my mom speaks, you can believe what she's saying because my mom is a woman of integrity. Now, shouldn't this be the case for all of us? When we speak, we should speak the truth. We don't have to swear to it, because we have a reputation as an honest person. Now, if you're a dishonest person, you will feel Like, you will have to make all these kind of statements like, I swear by heaven, or I swear by my children's lives. The honest person, all they have to do is just say yes or no. And people will believe them because they live lives of integrity. Now, sadly, in our culture, integrity is not held in the same esteem that it once was. There's a new phrase that's become popular in our culture, fake news. At one time, the American public trusted the news media. But times have changed, haven't they? Whether you're a liberal or conservative, Democrat or Republican, I'm sure that you have concerns about honesty in media. When did it become the case that instead of truth, we just want to promote our own agenda? It has created a difficult situation where we don't know who to believe. Integrity is introduced to us by our parents and through faith. The Bible tells us that there is something God cannot do. In Hebrews 6:18, we're informed that it is impossible for God to lie. Godly parents will want to instill in their children the same heart of integrity. Lying leads to many bad consequences. One lie leads to another lie, which leads to another lie, then a life filled with lies. And it will eventually catch up. So, when you say yes, you mean yes. And people can count on that. When you say no, you mean no. You must be a person who is honest and trustworthy. So, parents and moms especially, we celebrate you because of your examples of integrity. Part of being a godly person is that prayer is a huge part of our life. And so as we celebrate godly moms today, we're reminded that their lives are bathed in prayer. And so a godly mother is a woman of prayer. James asked a question in James chapter 5 and the first part of verse 13. He said, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. You see, the godly person recognizes the need for prayer, especially in troubled times. Now, that word trouble can mean several different things. It can mean adversity, like an illness, a bad health, financial worries. It can mean ill treatment from others, like bullies, or when we feel like we're being mistreated by people in our culture for whatever reason. It might be racially motivated. It might be just motivated economically, but whatever it is, we feel like we're being treated unfairly. It can also refer to times of persecution or the loss of property or the oppression by those who are in power or some undeserved imprisonment. So trouble comes to our lives. Now, how do we respond when we're dealing with these things? We can get frustrated. We can get angry. But what we really need to do is to go to God in prayer. And I know that right now, we all feel like there's trouble. This coronavirus has come in. People's lives have been turned upside down. Some people have been sick. Some people are going through financial crisis. Some people are just going through crisis because they've been shut up in a house with everybody in the family for 8 weeks. So many mothers find themselves on their knees on behalf of their children. Troubled times in a family drive moms to the throne of grace. Now, I know plenty of mothers who see their children going in the wrong direction in life, and it can be scary. Those godly mothers know that God is the one who can bring their children home. And many times, God reveals to them, look, everything's going to be okay. James went on to write some more about prayer. In verses 14 through 18, he wrote, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up, and if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Now, James has some recommendations. Actually, in the original language, these were commands. A godly person is going to follow these instructions. Now, what is it that he tells us to do? He says, well, if you're sick, call the elders to come in and pray. And the elders should come in and anoint those people with the oil in the name of the Lord. We should pray for the sick person, not just for their physical well-being, but also for their spiritual well-being. That also means that we should confess our sins to each other and pray for each other. So when the elders come to visit, we share with them what we're going through, the temptation and the struggle and the sins we're dealing with, and they can pray for us and help us. James reminded us that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. In other words, it's not wasted time. And as an example, James mentioned Elijah. Now, what did Elijah do? First, Elijah prayed that God would stop the rain. Now, why would he do that? Well, so that the people would return to worshiping God. You see, in Elijah's time, the people had begun to worship false gods. They needed to know that their worship of these false gods would not bring the blessings that they desired. They thought, if I worship those gods, they'll bless us and, you know, they'll give us good crops and they'll give us much wealth. And so for 3.5 years, it did not rain. And Elijah's purpose was so that the people would realize that those false gods were not real gods. Now, after the people repented, Elijah asked God to open up the heavens again, and the rain came and the land produced crops. You see, the godly person recognizes our need for God's blessings, and they recognize that prayer is the communication between us and God. Now, my mother is a believer in prayer. She trusts in God. She carries her requests and concerns before God. She brought us up seeing that. She made sure we were in church each week. Sometimes it was just us and the preacher. And many times she would invite the preacher over to eat. But prayer was always a constant in her life. I asked her how she felt prayer had influenced her as we were growing up. And this is what she told me. She said, prayer helped me to get through. I was bitter at the beginning when my mom and dad divorced. I felt betrayed. God gave me the strength to get through that. Through prayer, I was able to get to the point where I could forgive him. Now, Mom, I celebrate your faith today. I celebrate the fact that when life got tough, you knew the one who could help. And having that kind of faith is the key to having a joyful life. And James reminds us that our joy is an opportunity for praise. You see, a godly mother is a woman of joy. Even in the midst of difficult times, we can experience joy. James reminds us that when we experience joy, we should sing songs of praise to God. And so in James 5:13, the B, the second part of verse 13, we read, is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. It's one thing to go before God when life is difficult and we need help and support, but we should also go before God when life is good and things are going well, and we should take that opportunity to thank God by praising him. But even in those difficult times, we can have a deep joy knowing that God has not abandoned us. In his book, Legacy of Sovereign Joy, John Piper writes, at the age of 16 in the year 371, Augustine sneaked away from his mother in Carthage. During the night, he sailed away to Rome, leaving her alone to tears and prayers. Now, how were these prayers answered? Not the way Monica, Augustine's mother, hoped at the time. Only later could she see that praying is the deepest path to joy. Augustine himself wrote, and what did she beg of God, my God, with all those tears, if not that you would prevent me from sailing? But you did not do as she asked. Instead, in the depth of your wisdom, you granted the wish, that was closest to her heart. For she saw that you had granted her far more than she used to ask in her tearful prayers. You converted me to yourself so that I no longer placed any hope in this world, but stood firmly upon the rule of faith. And you turned her sadness into rejoicing, into joy far fuller than her dearest wish, far sweeter and more chaste than any she had hoped to find. From an early age, my mother saw the power of song. We have grown up hearing this story about when my mom was about 11 or 12 years old, and she and my grandmother, we called Booba. Her name was Beulah, but some of the grandkids couldn't pronounce that, so she got the name Booba. They had been down to Legion Lake there in Mississippi, and they'd been fishing. And when they got ready to come back home, Mom just ran ahead. You know, she was young, had all that energy, and she was ready to get out of those dark woods, she said. And as she came out of the woods, she came out to the levee, and it was sunny, and it was beautiful. And so she decided, well, I'll just wait for Mama. So as my grandmother was on the way, she was coming up behind my mom. She had lost sight of my mom, actually, and she was singing Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. And so my mom decided she was going to join in the song with her. My grandma got to that line, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, coming for to carry me home. And my mom joined her in that, coming for to carry me home. And my grandmother's hair stood up on end. And she saw my mother, and her eyes got big, and she raised that hatchet, and she started coming at my mom. My mom is backing down to the end of the levee and right at the edge of the water, and she's saying, Mama, Mama, it's me, it's me. And finally, Booba realized it was her. I can remember hearing my mom singing as I was growing up. I have vivid memories of riding in the car to different places, and you know, I have a real memory of a Christmas time when we were riding together, and she was driving, and she was singing, and we were singing with her. You know, this was before iPads where kids could, you know, sort of play their games. My mom was probably trying to keep us busy. What I didn't say was that life wasn't easy. I mean, I mentioned earlier that she had gone through divorce. She was basically on her own trying to provide for her kids because she didn't get any help from my father. She didn't make a lot of money, but she made ends meet, and yet she kept a joyful spirit. The troubles of life did not keep her from singing. In fact, she had such a deep faith and was a praying, godly woman, and that gave her the joy that she needed, even during troubled times. And it helped me to grow up with a positive spirit rather than a negative spirit. And Mom, I want to say thank you. Happy Mother's Day for that as well. You know, when I was a kid, I was went to a camp, and in the camp, we would sing these camp songs. And there was this one camp song. It has stuck with me all these years. It is a simple little song, but boy, what a powerful message it has. It's entitled When Everything Seems to Go Wrong, and this is how it goes. When everything seems to go, I better start lower. When everything seems to go wrong, I'll just keep trusting in Jesus. When trouble would quiet my song, I'll just keep trusting in Him. Whatever comes to me, from worry I'll be free. When everything seems to go wrong, I'll just keep trusting in Him. Boy, I used to have a better voice, but that song has stuck with me all these years. And as we celebrate all of our mothers today, who keep those songs of praise on their lips, even as life is not perfect, even as seems like everything seems to go wrong, we're going to keep praising Jesus. Now, the last thought from James has to do with the godly person's response to those who are not living a godly life. And that is, a godly mother is a woman of compassion. You know, the temptation would be for us to see people who aren't living a godly life and want to condemn them or just gossip about them. And so let's read these last two verses from our text. James 5:19-20. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Now, what does wander from the truth mean? Well, this is talking about someone who is, by their own will or by the leading of others, strayed away from God. They have strayed doctrinally, which means they no longer believe in God's word, or they have strayed practically in that they are living just an ungodly, worldly lifestyle rather than seeking God. Either way, they're no longer living a life that honors God. And so how are we supposed to respond when that happens? As Christians, how do we react to that person who's wandered from the truth, who may have stopped coming to church, who we have heard is just going off the deep end? Well, that last thought in the text, if you can turn a sinner away from sin and back to God, you will save that person from death and cover a multitude of sins. What's James telling us? I think he's saying when we see people, we should not turn away from them because of their sin. We understand we're sinners too. We don't make excuses for their decisions. We do hold them accountable, but we don't turn our backs on them. Patricia Miller was a Christian woman who learned that lesson, and she wrote this. While at work in the emergency room, I learned to stop crying at the pain around me. Maybe this will touch some of you medical professionals as well, and we thank all of you for the great work that you're doing. But listen to what she said. Each day it seemed I was becoming insensitive to people and their real needs. 5 years of emergency room exposure had taken its toll. Then God intervened. I was taking information for registering a young woman who had overdosed on drugs and had attempted suicide. Her mother sat before me as I typed the information into the computer. Her mother was unkempt and bleary-eyed. She had been awakened in the middle of the night by the police to come to the hospital. She could only speak to me in a whisper. "Hurry up," I said to myself as she slowly gave me the information. My impatience was raw as I finished the report and jumped to the machine to copy the medical cards. And that's when God stopped me at the copy machine. He spoke to my heart so clearly, "You didn't even look at her." And he repeated it gently, "You didn't even look at her." And I felt his grief for her and her daughter. And I bowed my head. "I'm sorry, Lord. I am so sorry." I sat down in front of the distraught woman and I covered her hands with mine. I looked into her eyes with all the love that God could flood through me. And I said, "I care. Don't give up." And she wept and wept. She poured her heart out to me about the years of dealing with the rebellious daughter as a single mom. Finally, she looked up and thanked me. Me, the cold-hearted one with no feelings. My attitude changed that night. My Jesus came right into the workplace in spite of rules that tried to keep him out. He came in to set me free to care again. He gave himself to that woman through me. My God, who so loved the world, broke that self-imposed barrier around my heart. And now he could reach out, not only to me and my pain, but to a lost and hurting woman. Now, I think of my own mom and how she's always been such a compassionate person. She sees people who have struggled and she doesn't stop caring about them. You know, growing up, she would take some people, you know, when I was growing up, she would take people who were lost and lonely, people that were sort of the strays and those who were struggling in life, and she would be a confidant to them. She would be an encourager to them. And she instilled in me a compassion for other people. And Mom, I want to say thank you. Thank you for showing me the kind of compassion for people who are struggling. Friends, whether you were a mom or a dad or single or married, every one of these characteristics should be evident in your life. They come from the Spirit of God, and faith works in the family when that is that present. Praying moms, praying parents make a difference in the life of the family. They are foundational. I want to close with this last story. Brian O'Brien is a guy who wrote a tribute to his mother, and in that tribute, he sort of capsulizes what I'm trying to say to you today. He starts by writing this. His name was Tim. It wasn't me. His name was Tim, and he was the bane of my existence. I can't remember now any particular thing he did to irk me. I simply recall from the fourth grade on, he gave me a general sense of panic. Tim was unpredictable, content one moment and angry the next, and I half feared and half loathed him. I thought slugging him in the nose might solve the problem. My mom suggested praying for him. That's just like a mom, I thought. But she insisted, and each night before bed, she prayed and encouraged me to pray for Tim. I don't remember either of us asking God that I would like him more. It seems Mom always prayed for his peace. Over time, something remarkable happened. Tim seemed calmer more often. And as he grew more peaceful, I grew less fearful of him. God answered our prayers. Isn't that what God does? He answers prayers. His eagerness to meet our needs is an important element of his character. I'm convinced my mother knew that full well. She recognized my crisis as one through which God could whisper a word to me about his character. She clung to God's promise to offer peace to his children, and she was confident that God would hear me when I called out to him. May we all be so wise. I hope that each of you will recognize the power and the importance of prayer in the family. It is truly foundational to a healthy family. It is proof positive that faith works. Friends, as we close, I want to lead up to communion with this thought. As I think about my mother's life of integrity, of prayer, of joy and compassion, I know that all of these characteristics came from God. We could not have those if it were not from God. They were exhibited to us when he gave his only son as a sacrifice for us. And as you take communion today, I hope that you will think about all that God offers you. Through Christ and his sacrifice, we can experience a meaningful and fulfilled life. Jesus saw you were in trouble. He had compassion for you. And he gave himself so that you could experience the joy of the Lord. I want you just to take a moment to be grateful for him. Talk with your family about this. Pray together about this. When I'm done, this passage of scripture from 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 25 will pop up and you'll be able to share communion together. May God bless you. And may God bless all of you mothers today with a happy Mother's Day. Father, we thank you for our mothers today. You have blessed us with godly moms who live a life of integrity and prayer. I thank you for my mom and her commitment and dedication to her children. Thank you for the life lessons she instilled in us. We also thank you that you have loved us, even though we are sinners. We thank you for your compassion for us and the fact that you gave up your one and only Son so that we might be forgiven. Now prepare our hearts to celebrate that gift through communion. Help us to turn our focus on Jesus and his sacrifice. And help us to become the people you want us to be. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, have a wonderful day and celebrate your mothers. God bless you.